Well, let's go ahead and get started then.
Well, I got a call from Josh. I got a text from Josh. It says he was out getting Elvira a drink. That must be his motorcycle. She was thirsty. Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are Josh, Barry J, Barty, and Michael, the virtual Youper. Tonight, a big win for Apple in the Apple versus Samsung case, Tesla gets a museum, and Godspeed Neil Armstrong. All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire. Here's Josh, Barry J, Barty, and Michael! Hey everybody, welcome to Late Night QRM, show number 62. And from the Southwest corner, I am Barry J.
And from Central New York, this is Barty.
And again, from the top of Brockway Mountain, where I'm using the old reliable 3G. And that was 62A, wasn't it there, Barry? This is Michael, the virtual Youper.
It is 62A. It's the same as 62, but you guys didn't get the... I did something different with the show notes this week. I took last week's show notes and did a save as and then just edited them. And you guys were all still sharing it. But apparently it doesn't send out a mail to you guys, an email to you guys, notifying you that there is a new document that you're sharing. So what I did was created a new document and copied-paste. So that's 62A.
Now, okay.
Well, Michael is so close to Canada, we can just say A anyway.
A?
A?
And Josh is...
Clear, I do say A.
Josh, I got a text from Josh. He's... watering his motorcycle. Oh, giving his motorcycle a drink, that's what he said. And so he should be joining us shortly, hopefully, when he gets home. So it's been a beautiful week here in New Hampshire. The weather is a little warm, not too bad. The nights are cool, so fall is coming. Because it's been nice sleeping weather, but the days are still getting up there a little bit, but the humidity isn't too bad. It's been nice. Of course, we're not getting a hurricane like other people, which I think it's now a tropical storm, but apparently it's going to change into a hurricane, and right now the prediction is it's going to slam pretty much right into New Orleans, but that's okay, because since Katrina happened last, they did... some work there, and they got it above sea level, right?
Sure they did.
So we have no problems for the people that decided to move back there after, living there, the only town that's below seawater and gets hurricanes quite often. That's a brilliant place to live.
They ought to take a few cues about building dikes from the Dutch.
Yeah.
They've got that crap down tight.
Exactly. Yeah, the Dutch don't have to worry about hurricanes too much either. But
no, not really.
But they do get some pretty good North Sea storms. I know that. So so anyway.
I've got some friends that are in Florida, and they're buckling down the hatches and bearing down and preparing for the storm. So we'll see how that works out. So wish all those guys the best, and hope it works out for them.
Right. Of course, they delayed the Republican convention by one day because of the
well,
storm.
Well, you know, any delay the Republicans can get can only help them.
and really, I mean, these conventions on both sides, all it is one giant infomercial anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
It's kind of useless. So
yeah, well, you know, they wanted to get away from Monday Night Football anyhow, That's even if true. It is just preseason.
That's true.
I mean, you know, your choice of listening to a bunch of politicians go on and on and on, or watching a bunch of inept football wannabes play. I mean, I think I would go with the football.
Me too.
Wannabe football pluros or wannabe politicians? Yeah. Yeah, let's go with the football.
Really? At least they have talent.
At least they're more serious.
Yeah. So yesterday was the north end of Boston had the St. Anthony feast, and Anne-Marie and I went down, and we met up with her podcast partner, Lou, and his wife. They took the Amtrak train down from Portland, Maine, and we picked them up in Woburn, and then drove the rest of the way into the north end and had a great time. It's
you drove into the north end?
Yeah, I actually parked in the north end too. Yeah, I found a parking space.
How much did that cost you?
It was $14 for the day.
Might have been cheaper to take the train down.
Well, yeah, but see,
I think the commuter rail from Lowell is cheaper than
well,
that.
Well, the problem is, and the reason why we did it is Lou has some health problems, and so he uses a cane and sometimes a walker. So we wanted to get as close to the feast as we could. And we ended up walking like 2 miles anyway, which, you know, I'm sure Lou is really sore today. Because he was doing it. he kept up for him.
Good for him. I'm glad that he was able to manage all that despite you abusing him so badly.
Come on, let's go, move it. But we must have eaten at a bunch of different little booths there. We had sausage and peppers, of course, and then I had some white sauce on ziti. And he had some calamari, fried calamari, and I don't know what else we ate there.
Listeners should show a friend Barry on Facebook so you could see the pictures that he posted, because a lot of that stuff really did look pretty good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the pictures that you posted, Barry. They were really, really nice.
Yeah. If you can find me on Facebook, you can certainly take it. Maybe I'll post them. Maybe I should I see if I can post them on the website here, too. It was fun, and of course, you know, very Italian. So Lou, of course, is Italian. My wife is Italian. Lou's wife is not. She's
don't they listen? Don't our listeners listen to political QRM?
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean,
they
would know that those two were very, very extremely Italian.
you think it's that obvious?
Not that I don't want to put a plug in for political QRM. That is a podcast that I really enjoy listening to.
it's fun, isn't it? and not only are they Italian, but they're New Jersey Italians.
I just love Anne-Marie's accent.
You know what? And Lou brings that out in her. It's like
especially
they both.
When she gets wound up, it gets even stronger.
Yeah.
It's really funny as heck.
She'll claim she doesn't have an accent, but
well, to her, she probably doesn't. But that's what she grew up listening to. But for the rest of us, it's really funny because, like, when she's calm, you can hear like a little bit of an accent in the background and stuff. Mm-hmm. But when she gets wound up, that accent just comes screaming out, and it's really, really entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, if this was like a video podcast, I'd be expecting to see her punch somebody, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she would. it's everything I can do to keep her from pounding on the table all the time.
Well, at least it's not you.
Yeah, that's true.
Just give her a little padded spot and just tell her, here, pound this.
Pound
this.
On
it won't
here.
Affect the microphone.
Yeah. And, of course, now, because it is a political show, they're really, I mean, this is prime time for political shows. So, but it's good, they try to put it out once a week. We're trying to find a new time to record it because they were doing it on Saturday afternoons. That kind of screws up the entire weekend for both of us. So then they moved it to Sunday, and it was like, okay, you're too close to our podcast now. Yeah, no problem. And it's like I had like 15 minutes to get ready to do our podcast.
You've got nothing else to do today, Barrett. Yeah. Right now.
Yeah, really.
Produce two shows.
What's your complaint?
So last week we tried Monday night with them, and that seemed to work out And actually, they were both a little punchy, so it even made it better, I think. The Italian really came out in the last show. But, yeah. So, yeah, check out Political QRM. That's politicalqrm.com for the feed and everything. So, yeah. So, St. Anthony, it was fun, and it was good. I like the north end of Boston, and there's so many restaurants and everything there, and it's like, I said, you know, we have to go down there sometime when they don't have a festival, just to tool around and check it out, because there's tons of restaurants down there, and you can get really good Italian food.
Right there. Well, I kind of like any part of Boston.
When
my wife and I were living in Nashua, we used to drive down to Lowell and take the commuter rail down into North Station, and we would just spend the whole day wandering all over Boston. And Boston's such a small city that it really doesn't take too much to get around. You know, you can jump on the T for the longer stretches, but for the most part, the whole city is like all right there around you.
It is a great walking town.
And there's like tons of things that you could go see and experience in Boston. Some of it is like so old and stuff. There's so much history in that city. It's like really awesome.
Well, they have the Freedom Trail.
And it's not like something like Chicago or New York that's so spread out that takes like, you know, a whole week to go through an experience. Boston is like really, really tight and compressed. So there's a lot of stuff that you can see in just, you know, 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. It's the Freedom Trail is worthwhile doing. We've done that a couple of times because it's fun.
Yeah, if you're really into history, you really have to go through the Freedom Trail.
And they have the Quincy Market and Faneuil Hall.
You know, unless you're like people like Sarah Palin or who is the, I can't remember her, the other Republican representative that was trying to run, that was trying to rewrite history, that couldn't remember where famous historical things happened.
Well, that's all right. That's okay, because we have a vice president now who doesn't know what century we're in, and doesn't know that what state he's in most of the time. So.
Yeah. Well, then we got Governor Romney, who still thinks we're fighting the Cold War against the Soviet Union. I mean, he doesn't seem to have realized that they don't exist anymore. You know.
Well, that's all right, because he wants to be president of Mercia. And and of course, our current president,
you know,
likes to go to the one of his 57 states of, and one of them is Oiho.
You know, when Romney introduced Ryan as his running mate and said the future president of the United States, I thought, well, you know what? I would vote for this guy over Romney.
Yeah, actually, I would too. But you know what?
It's like, damn, Romney's giving away his job before he's even had a chance to run for it.
But to round it off, the current president did the same thing to Biden back in 2008. So I think it's...
Well, people have been doing that to Biden, you know, since Biden got into politics.
Yeah. But, so it's fun. It's fun watching the gaffes. I like, we should have a gaffe count, you know?
So. No, I don't think we can count that high as a race.
Oh, jeez. So anyway, on a sadder note, here we go, because I'm going to the next topic here. Yesterday, I'm not sure whether he actually died yesterday or the day before, but it was announced yesterday anyway that... astronaut Neil Armstrong passed away at the age of 82 from complications from heart bypass surgery that he had about 3 weeks previous. And I agree with somebody on Google Plus said, we throw around the term hero pretty loosely these days, but Neil Armstrong was one of the real heroes of our time. Because, you know, he was modest, and he went and did something that he might not have come back from. I mean, let's face it, that was a really dangerous thing, those guys. All three of them, Mike Collins, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong. They may not have made it, and they did something, and they did it well, and they came back, and Neil Armstrong spent the rest of his life... teaching, I believe he was a professor And
yeah, that's true. That's true. He was, like, out of the three of them, he was the most modest. Yeah. And he would have never considered himself a hero for what he did. But I agree with you, Barry. All three of those guys were really heroes because they were doing something that they really could not have come, possibly could not have come back from. And Neil Armstrong never, ever tried to profit from that. No. He never tried to trumpet himself as anything more than an ordinary guy. You know, he never tried to say, well, I did this wonderful thing. I went to the moon and I stepped right on the surface. He never, ever trumpeted that. And you're right. He went there, he did his job, and he came back. And when he left NASA, he just went on and became a teacher.
That's
and
right.
Just lived a life that he felt he was just a person doing his job, which, you know, to me is like, one of the real hallmarks of a hero is the fact that he goes out there and does something courageous that he might not come back from, and then just says, hey, it was just my job, it's what I had to do at the time, and goes back and does what he wants to do afterwards.
Right, you know? Exactly. And so, you know, hats off to Neil Armstrong, and, you know, and hopefully, you know, everything, you know, to his family and everything who are, you know, grieving now. So,
you know, the one thing that I found was kind of interesting in the press this morning, they were talking about the fact that with Neil Armstrong's passing, is that he went and did this most amazing feat. He went out and he and Buzz Aldrin, they went out there to the moon, they landed, they stepped on it, and they came back safely. And nowadays, we don't even have the ability to put a person in orbit.
That's yes.
What does that say about our space policy? What does that say about our priorities towards exploration and scientific investigation and just moving ahead? It's like we've given up all hope of moving forward.
And
you know, we've given up trying to progress, trying to go forward, and trying to learn anything further. You know, we're just going to regress. We're just going to, you know, close in amongst ourselves and just sit here in a corner, cross-legged, and contemplate our navels and just, you know, not try to grow.
And I always have you find people, especially from the left, say, oh, we've got to concentrate on the problems here on Earth, and we can't spend money out there. That's kind of a waste of time. Well, first of all, nothing that we've done in space was a waste of time, because we gathered so much scientific information and improved products and, you know, stuff we use every day were invented because of space exploration. But the main
things like microwave ovens.
Yeah.
Came about
Velcro.
The space program. Velcro. Yeah. You know, I mean, all these amazing things that we take for granted were all originally explored and developed for space.
But where
would we gonna be without some kind of an overarching goal for us to try to achieve?
Right. And my biggest argument to people that say, oh, we got to worry about the people here on Earth and we can't spend money out there, I will say, now granted, it's a long time off, but eventually our sun will become either a supernova, or it will enlarge itself and become, a red giant, and consume the Earth, which means, you know, if we make it to then somehow, but we haven't figured out how to move off and colonize space, the human race is doomed anyway, right? It's a guarantee. So, you know, to me, it's never a waste of time or money to explore space and figure out how to move around this huge universe.
You know, a lot of times complaining about the amount of money that's spent on space exploration and, you know, NASA. But actually, when you look at the real dollars in a governmental sense, the part of the budget that NASA takes up is awfully, awfully small. Even at the height of the space program, the height of Apollo, it was still a small part of the overall government budget.
I believe it's less than 1%.
Yeah, it was really, really small. Yeah. So when you look at all these celebrities that are shipping money overseas to Africa to build schools and try to develop communities in Africa, and if you're worried about the poor in America, why aren't these celebrities going to Appalachia and building communities and building schools there? Why are we always putting all of our money overseas instead of putting a lot of these charitable dollars here at home? So instead of pointing your finger at NASA saying you're wasting money that could be spent trying to help Americans, why don't you point your finger at all these celebrities that are wasting even more money overseas saying, why don't all of you stupid people spend your money here at home?
Right, because we certainly have enough problems here.
Exactly. You know, and a lot of these celebrities, you know, like primarily Oprah Winfrey, who goes through and builds schools all over Africa, that why doesn't she build similar schools for similar communities that are already here in the United States?
I agree.
All through Appalachia and primarily. That's what we hear a lot about in the news. Mm-hmm. But there are places all over the country that are in the same kind of situation. But they never do. They always spend all their money overseas. And the money they spend far eclipses the budget that the government puts towards NASA.
Exactly. It is. It does cost more. It is amazing. I totally agree with you, Barty. And so maybe someday they'll learn, but I doubt it.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But at least I got to rant a little bit. Yeah.
So, and, what
is it? We have to, 3.25 listeners?
Or yeah.
I thought we were over four.
Well, we were.
Counting us?
We actually spiked around PAB, but our numbers are dropping again. So we need to get advertising out there. And free sex, free porn didn't help very much.
Did you name an episode
that's
that?
Huh?
Did you really name an episode that?
Yeah, I did. It was, it worked for you. I figured. alas, we might have gotten one or two more people, but that was
you need to get on. You need to get into the Zune marketplace.
I guess so.
Like that, you would get a lot of people.
Yeah, I guess you have to be on the Zune market to get that.
Yeah, you have to hit those Windows people.
they'll react to that. Anyway, so the other big story that happened this week, for geeks anyway,
Friday,
it was the Apple versus Samsung verdict that came in, and it was pretty much all Apple.
Yeah.
And of course, I was reading a lot about online, and of course all the people that hate Apple were really up in arms about it, and all the people that our fanboys, Apple fanboys, are all saying, that was a just verdict. And it was like $1.5 billion, I think, the judgment was for. Of course, that'll get knocked down.
Yeah. Well, there was one of the jurors that spoke on one of the morning shows this morning, and they were talking about the fact that one of the things that most one of the things that most got to them were the graphics that showed three or four Samsung phones before the iPhone. And it was like, three or four in a row, and then the iPhone on the right. And all the Samsung phones looked all clunky. And then, of course, the iPhone was nice and smooth and streamlined. And then they showed the next graphic was the iPhone on the left, the exact same iPhone, and then they showed three or four Samsung phones after the iPhone, and they all looked very, very similar to the iPhone.
Exactly.
Right down to the size, the shape, the icons, and everything. And the juror was saying that, when you look at that, the change was dramatic. And the juror was also went on to say that when the Apple executives were questioned, they were all right up front, ready to comment, and had no problem with anything, no pauses. When the Samsung executives were questioned, they were all hemming and hawing, and they were like, they were all hesitant and gave very limited responses. Where all the Apple executives were actually giving away company secrets. They were very wide open and very, very freely speaking with all of their opinions. So the jurors were very, very strongly affected by the performance of the people on the stand, but mainly the graphics was what got them the most. And those graphics were posted on Apple Insider, if anybody
I'll have to go take a look at them. I haven't seen them. And while you were talking, Josh made it into the group.
What's up?
What's up?
Hello, my general. Josh. How are you, Josh?
I am very good and was running late. We went from having nothing to do to, oh, my God, I got to get home quick. I got a show to do.
Hog, I got here.
Not leaky, thirsty. Very, very thirsty. That's what happens when you soup up the engine in your Harley. You know, I get 22 miles to the gallon in that bike.
But you got a classic Harley. You got a special Harley. You have to specify that, Josh.
Yes, I
do. You don't have a run-of-the-mill Harley. You have a unique special beast.
Yes, I do. It is the first generation Evo engine in it. It's a 1986, so the bike's nearly 30 years old, and it has a carburetor that drinks gasoline like water over a waterfall.
Oh, jeez.
But it's a lot of fun.
Hey, I want to just make sure that Michael, are you still there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I want to make sure we didn't lose you up on the mountaintop there.
No, I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah, so Josh, and you came in right at your favorite topic, Apple.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Got kind of pretty much fried last Friday.
Well, as we kind of figured.
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of the Samsung also sued Apple in the South Korean courts, and it was kind of a break-even sort of situation. They ruled mostly in favor of Samsung, but the damages were, you know, kind of break-even. It wasn't really a large amount of money, and it was mostly inconclusive more than anything compared to San Jose, where, you know, Samsung pretty much got seared.
Lambasted.
What I found more interesting, though, was watching the comments and things on Google Plus, and of course I'll call them non-Apple fanboys, because I'm assuming they're Android people. I don't know; it could be others involved. But
you mean the people who are threatening to have their operating system shut down?
Yeah, it's like first, the funniest thing I heard was all these people saying we ought to start a boycott against Apple. Yeah, let's all boycott Apple. It's like, you guys don't buy Apple products anyway, so it's not going to matter.
So, okay.
Okay. Apple's don't buy. Like, keep not buying Apple products. It doesn't matter. But there's one guy that's pretty vocal there, and he has a show with Leo Laporte, and I generally hardly ever agree with this guy, but he is kind of interesting to listen to. And
does he have a name?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it right now.
He's buying time so he can rack his brain.
It's the guy that's on This Week in Google. I can't think of his name right now. I could look it up, but anyway, he just wrote a book called Public.
You're Cyloning, Barry.
Sorry.
Still be here. You are.
Public parts. And what I would love to do is take like the first paragraph of his book and put it out there on Google Plus and just change like two or three words and then say, oh, you like the first paragraph of my new book? It's called Private Places or something. And then I would like to say, well, some people may think that it looks an awful lot like, I can't think of his name. Anyway.
Jeff Jarvis?
Jarvis, that's it. Jeff Jarvis, his book. But no, it's not. I've improved on his book. And besides, it's only made up of words and letters, and he didn't invent words or letters. So, you know, I'm just improving on a product that's already out there, and people shouldn't get mad, and Jeff Jarvis shouldn't sue me over it. I mean, that's basically their argument.
Well, you know, Samsung is going to appeal this, and this is going to drag on for a long time.
Oh yeah.
But you know, the basic problem here is that our patent system is broken. You know, I mean,
it is.
I like Apple stuff, but seriously, can you really, really be able to patent a swipe motion on a screen? Should you really be able to patent the way icons look on a smartphone screen? You know,
probably
we,
not.
We had this whole big discussion back when Microsoft stole the Apple look and feel when they came out with Windows 3. You know,
yeah.
It was the same basic argument. I mean, nobody else had that kind of a look and feel, kind of a graphical environment, but Apple and Microsoft came out with it, and they were able to win. You know, this, but I guess a lot of it had to do with the fact that you know, their systems were crashing and Apple's weren't, and you know, their screens didn't look as good as Apple's screens. But you know, but still, the basic premise was that, you know, they had the icons, they, you know, they had the same basic functionality and all, and they were able to prevail against Apple. So what does that really say about our patent system overall, especially in regards to software? How much can you really patent things like icons and fonts and look and feel about a GUI?
Well,
you know, we've been here before, and I'm surprised that nobody in the press is bringing this up. I mean, that we've already argued about this way back in the past, you know.
Well,
why is this all different just because it's a stinking phone or a tablet?
Here's the thing with that. It, you know, it's all true what you say. They need to look at the patent redo it, especially when it comes to software. But saying that, currently, this is what the patent process is. And Apple went and got patents on these things. Legally got patents. Did Samsung? No, Samsung did not. Samsung, Apple, 2 years ago, saw what Samsung was doing and said, hey, we'll give you a deal on our patents. And Samsung smugly said, no, we don't need to do that. Even though we're your major part supplier, and we know an awful lot about your phones because we supply parts to you, we're not going to do that. So it's like, guess what? You know, the current rules are like this. You lose. Now, if you want the patent process to change, then you need to vote people into office that were willing to make that change. But with the current crop of politicians on both sides, man, that's not going to happen.
I'm sorry, did you say the word crop of politicians, or was crop? That's what it was.
I said.
Yeah, I go along with crap.
Yeah, probably crap.
Crap politicians that we have available.
So I don't know what the answer is, but you know, all I know is Apple put a lot of money in R&D to develop the iPhone. It was the first of its kind, and suddenly within a couple of months, Samsung and a couple other companies came out with ones that, gee whiz, looked an awful lot like that, and they never made phones that looked like that before Apple
it's
came out.
It's a coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, by the way, people say, well, Samsung makes other things. What happens if this would happen in the TV market? Well, guess what? I hate to say this, but Samsung, as a corporation, does nothing but copy other companies.
Right.
That's what their business is. Because if you look, it was Sony and Panasonic were the first ones to come out with, you know, big on flat screen TVs and everything. Mm-hmm. And if Sony and Panasonic didn't bother to file patents for the look and feel of things, well, then that's their fault. And Samsung came in, copied them, improved them a little bit, probably, because I have a Samsung television. I think it's the best one out there, although Panasonic is probably just as good up there. They're just a little more expensive. But that's probably because they have to pay for their R&D effort, which,
well,
Samsung didn't have to.
Televisions are a whole different matter, though. Because you only have a few manufacturers that make the screens, and most companies do all they create all the junk that goes behind the screens. Yep. And for the fact of Sony, that Sony's heyday was back in the days of the tube TVs with the Trinitron.
Mm-hmm.
When everything went to flat screen, Sony was left behind. They were just like, you know, the old Walkman model. You know, when the Walkman lost interest because people were carrying around iPods. Sony didn't have a clue what was happening. They were left behind. Well, it was the same thing with LCD TVs. When we switched from CRTs to LCDs, Sony was like, huh, what? You know?
I would say that's true with LCDs, but I think Sony was up there with, of course, Panasonic was ahead of them, but Sony was up there with the, whatchamacallit ones.
Plasma.
Plasma TVs. Yeah, I would say they were late to the game on the LCDs, but Panasonic makes both, and probably did most of the R&D to get those TVs into the marketplace. And you have companies like Samsung who say, "Hey, that was a great idea." Probably provided them parts, and then went around and turned around and started using them. Now, and the other thing too with the patent thing, the whole idea of the patent thing is it's a limited time that you're allowed to use, make money on it. I think it's like 7 years you're supposed to be able to make money with the patent, and then after that, then it kind of gets opened up for research and development. Now, how old is the iPhone? It's not 7 years yet. So
no, it's not. So people, I think it's like 2004 or something like that.
Right. So people need to pay Apple for the R&D that they did, and you know.
Well, Apple offered to accept payments from Samsung for, you know, for their devices, and you know, Samsung, yeah, like you said, Barry, Samsung kind of said, "Well, screw you, buddy."
Yeah.
You know, and so they're reaping the results of what they sowed.
Right. Exactly. So I'm you know, I really don't have that much of a dog in this fight, but you know, I think under the current rules and
regulations. You don't have a dog in this fight? What kind of a phone do you use,
Ben? Well, I use an iPhone.
But okay. So you have a dog in the fight.
With saying that though,
a dog you pat every day.
With saying that though, the next iPhone coming up, they need to do something to convince me that they're still number one, because I got to tell you, I've taken a look at the Galaxy 3, the Samsung Galaxy 3 phone, and it's a damn nice phone.
Yeah, but if you don't buy it fast, you're not going to get it in another month.
What's that?
The Samsung S3. If you don't get it now, it's going to be barred from being sold in the U.S.
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Apple's already filed an injunction to stop sales of the infringing products from Samsung.
We'll see how far
that
gets.
It did that right after the verdict came out.
We'll see how far that gets. I'm sure there's going to be some wheeling and dealing in the background, but that could possibly happen. But
Basically, it's really kind of funny because my granddaughter told my wife that today on the phone that she wanted an iPhone. So I went to the Verizon site because I've got a company discount there, and I also have an account there for the little wireless hotspot that I use for our R2 iPads, my wife and I. And so I went there to see about adding an iPhone, and every step of the way they kept asking me, "Wouldn't you rather have a Samsung this, a Samsung that?" They are pushing Samsung like crazy. And I'm like, "Listen, you guys, I don't want Samsung. I want an iPhone." Not because I care about an iPhone, but that's what my granddaughter wants. She specifically said she wanted an iPhone. And she knows how it works because her daddy has one. So she wants an iPhone. And so Samsung is like Verizon's trying to push me to a Samsung, and I got someone on the phone and says, "Well, why are you pushing this?" This is because we want to sell them while we can. Because they're afraid that there's an injunction coming.
They'll be stuck with them. They won't be able to.
They want to get rid of them. They want. Yeah. I mean, you can get a Samsung phone for free right now.
Oh, maybe I should, just for the
I was looking at an iPhone 4 for $50, and they were offering me a Samsung phone for free. And I was like, "Well, I don't want a Samsung. I want an iPhone." But you can get it for free. I don't care. It's not for me. It's for my granddaughter. She wants an iPhone. She doesn't care about Samsung. She says, "Yeah, but you can get it for free."
That's incredible. Now, my only concern, though, and like I said, my only concern, and I think this is Apple-wide right now, and it could be because of the loss of Steve Jobs, I'm not sure, but I'm concerned that the last couple things they put out did not advance the technology a lot. And
The iPad 3.
And I will probably be getting the next iPhone because I am so entrenched into the iPhone walled garden, as they like to say. All my other stuff is Mac, and I've spent a lot of money on applications and apps, apps and everything that I don't want to have to rebuy them again. So I'll probably end up getting the new iPhone 5. But if all they're going to offer is if they're still going to have a 2-core processor in it when everybody else has moved to 4, and they're just offering a little bit larger screen, which I'm glad they're doing, nothing much else. It's man, the other phones are bypassing you. And you guys need to get your act together again, or possibly the next phone I buy may not be an Apple phone.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. That a lot of pundits were already saying that Apple is already falling behind because they're not really offering any really big reason to stick with the iPhone. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me personally,
but it just works.
Well, it does just work.
What was that, Jess?
I said, how about it just works all the time?
Yeah. Yeah, there is that, because I've got a BlackBerry, and it does not work all the time. But
I've
for
had
me,
Samsung's at lockup.
My BlackBerry contract with the company expires. It already did on the 20th. And so I can get a new phone right now, but I'm going to wait to see what the iPhone 5 has to offer and pick that up.
That's what I'm waiting
for. You know, I could get a Samsung Galaxy 3S right now if I wanted to, but I'd rather wait and see what the iPhone 5 offers.
I'm the same way. I'm a loyal customer because the first Apple product I ever bought just worked right out of the box, and they seem to improve things every year. But it just like I said, it seems like their move up in technology is slowing down a bit. Now, it could be that you can only do so much with these phones before, some new technology has to break and allow, be introduced into it. But, it could be that the next Samsung phone is not going to be much better than the Galaxy 3.
Well, I guess as far as phones go, until you get to a point where you've got the processing capability and the port availability to be able to plug a monitor into it and a keyboard and be able to turn it into a fully functional desktop, it's not really going to be able to run your whole life. It's always going to be simply an accessory. And it's going to be, what is your main machine, mm-hmm. and what do you mainly need as an accessory? Because right now, all these Android phones are really cool, but unless you have an Android desktop computer, which you don't, mm-hmm. then what good is it? If you have a Windows desktop computer, then you should think about getting a Windows phone. Especially the newer ones. Now, I wouldn't buy the current crop of Windows phones, but the next ones that are going to be based on Windows 8, if you have a Windows 8 phone and a Windows 8 desktop, I'm willing to bet you that the two of those are going to work together pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft is heading in that direction, right. And they're sick and tired of waiting for their OEM partners to make up the right products,
exactly.
That they are saying, screw you guys, we're going to show you how to do it. And they are coming out with it with their own tablet that's going to be a reference model edition that's going to show OEMs this is the kind of crap you need to make. I don't know how long Microsoft will sell those. Acer is already, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, Acer has already threatened Microsoft that if you make this, we might switch to some other operating system. Like what? So basically, Microsoft is, if I was Ballmer, I would just shrug my shoulders and say, yeah, screw you, and just press on, come out with a reference model tablet. I would come out with a reference model desktop computer that mm-hmm. makes Windows 8 shine and say, hey, you assholes, this is what you need to build to make Windows look right. This is what your customers want to buy. Mm-hmm. They are sick and tired of getting hardware compromises to run a good quality operating system on. Because, you know, Microsoft operating systems were pretty crappy during the early Windows years. And, you know, all the way through XP. XP was kind of shaky. 2000, I thought, was pretty good. But XP kind of was a downgrade from 2000. Mm-hmm. But Windows 7 is looking really solid. It's mm-hmm. been running pretty good. It's yep. basically Vista fixed.
Hey, the federal government moved up to it, so you know it's got to be
you know, and from what I've been running with the consumer preview version of Windows 8, 8 is looking really good as well. So Microsoft has gotten their operating system down pat. The big stumbling block is the hardware. Mm-hmm. When you have companies that are coming out, cutting corners on hardware and running Windows on it, it's the same old problem we've had all the way through the Windows era. It's like Microsoft, no matter how good they make Windows, their OEMs have been cutting corners and coming up with crappy hardware that makes Windows run badly. Mm-hmm. Microsoft needs to come out with reference versions of their of hardware that says, look, this is how good Windows can be. If our partners can't or won't come up with stuff like this, then it's not our fault. They need to showcase how good their software is or shut the hell up.
Right, instead of relying on somebody else's hardware. That's true.
I mean, they don't have to make their money off the hardware. Just simply create the hardware to show how good their operating system can run, how good their software can perform, and just simply say, you know, like Cher did when she was going through her 10-year farewell tour, follow this, you bitches, you know?
Hey, well, I got to say one thing, and I think one of Microsoft's downfall with Windows 8 is going to be, and it was proven out, if you go online, if you follow Chris Perillo, he's kind of a geek out there. He does a lot of vlogging.
Kind of a Mac dude, though.
He uses everything. He does, and he has like you have. He has actually he belongs to MSCN or whatever it's called.
MSDN.
You know, MSDN, and so he has a full out gold copy, I guess, of or pre gold copy of Windows 8, and this is where Windows is going to have a problem, because what he did was he brought his dad in, who is a big. He still uses XP. He knows XP in and out. He knows how to get around and everything. He sat him down in front of Windows 8 and said, here's Windows 8. Try it out. And, you know, of course, let's not call it Metro display was up.
Yeah.
And the first thing he did was...
interface, formerly known as Metro.
Yeah, Metro. He clicked and he got Internet Explorer up, right? And it showed up. And he says, okay, I can get to that. And he says, and then Chris says, okay, go to somewhere else. And he goes, he couldn't get back to the Metro window, and he didn't.
There's a button for it.
He couldn't find it. I'm telling you, without instructions and everything. And yes, you've worked with it and everything, but this is an average guy, probably in his 70s, late 60s, 70s. He could not. He was just stuck. All he could do was open Internet Explorer, and he couldn't figure out how to navigate around Windows 8. And I mean, he sat there for like a half hour trying to figure out how to get back to it. Now, the same guy who's never worked on, and he's, like I said, he can get all around XP, and thus he can also get around Windows 7 without a problem. Chris Perillo put him in front of Mac. He's not a Mac guy, and he put him in front of it, and within a couple minutes, he could move around Mac. Now, so what I'm saying is Windows 8, they've got to do something to introduce people that are not computer geeks on how to move around it, how to navigate the thing, because that could be a big downfall for them. They've got to somehow push it, because obviously you or I or any of us here could figure out how to get back to it.
Nuh-uh.
Well, yeah, but Barry, that is very, very similar to the whole experience that people were experiencing when Apple moved from Mac OS 9 to Mac OS 10. There was a lot of resistance from
Yeah, but it didn't OS change 9 that much.
Users that did not want to go to the whole GUI thing that macOS 10 was bringing.
But macOS 9 had GUIs.
Yeah, but it was a totally different GUI.
It wasn't
you
that
were used
different.
A whole different paradigm, but as opposed to macOS 10.
It was
a completely different screen. You had but macOS 10, you had to like find menus and things, and you know, things had to drop down, and you had to go looking for things. With macOS 9, everything was just right up on the screen. You know, if you had a hard drive, it had an icon. You know. And which wasn't
well,
necessarily
does.
The case at macOS 10, unless you went and turned that feature on, I did, because I was lost when I went to macOS 10. It was, my hard drives are gone, you know, until I found out that you had to go turn that on. So of course I went and turned it on, and now I'm feeling comfy because I can see my hard drives now, you know.
But I'm still saying that I think if anything's going to happen with Windows 8, that's going to be their downfall if they can't. Because it is radically different from their old GUI.
I've never seen it.
The biggest difference is that with Mac users, they have faith in Apple that they're willing to wait to find out the ways and hows to go about and do things, mm-hmm. whereas the great unwashed audience of Windows users hit the panic mode going, what have they done to us now? You know?
Some of us are stuck having to use micro crap. Micro sloth.
Yeah. Well, Apple did a much better job of bringing their users along, and they had a much more stronger user community to help fellow users come along. Whereas with Windows, you're just kind of like screwed. The company didn't really do much to help people from one version to another, and there wasn't much of a user community to really. But you know, I guess with the Apple user community, they were so much smaller that it was a lot easier to get together and talk about these kind of things. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I just just measuring the circumference of his skull, thinking how much bigger is this going to get when I start working with the new version of Windows? How much swelling am I going to experience?
25 inches.
Wow.
I need to expand my skull.
Exactly. I don't know if my head's big enough to work with a Mac. That's a problem.
Mac just works.
It just works. Yeah.
Macs are really kind of too easy. You know, I mean, you just kind of, you know, click on junk and stuff happens. But, you know,
like magic.
When you first come to a Mac from a Windows perspective, it does kind of throw you. My wife and I had one of her sisters come visit us a couple of months ago, and she wanted to access her Bank of America account. And I gave her my MacBook Pro 17-inch screen laptop to play on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went ahead and brought up Safari, and she was like, well, what do I do? So I says, well, type in www.bankofamerica.com or whatever you type in. So she did that, and it didn't look at all on Safari as familiar as it did to her on Windows. Hmm. But I think she had things on Windows that were already remembered. So, yep. You know, she just clicked an icon and, you know, presto bango, her account came up.
Right.
Presto bango? Wow.
And, you know, she came up with a login window and says, well, what do I type in here? This is why I told her, well, I don't know. What's your login ID?
What's your login?
I'll tell you, the only two things when I switched over to Mac, the only two things that I had to get used to was, first, the buttons were on the left side instead of the right side for the Windows. And second thing is the menu bar was not actually in the window itself. It's up at the top of the display.
Yeah, it's not called Start.
Whichever window is active, that the menu bar switches to that at the top of the screen. So, and they were the two things that were the hardest things for me to get used to. Otherwise, everything else seemed to be fine, except for they dumped the icons on the right-hand side of the screen instead of the left-hand side of the screen.
Well, the first Mac that I had experience with was an old Mac Plus.
Yeah.
I bought it at a yard sale for $20, and it came with an external 20 megabyte hard drive. I got to get that gig out of my head. It was a 20 megabyte hard drive, which was pretty big for those days. It was a SCSI drive that plugged into the back of the Mac Plus. And the first time I stuck a floppy in it, and the floppy just popped up on the screen, I was like, whoa, that's cool. You know, and I was like wondering, what did somebody do to this Mac to make it do that? So a few months later, I saw a Mac SE on sale for about the same price as the Plus, about $20. So I figured, what the hell, I'll pick it up. And, you know, I went and read on them and figured out that you could network them together with a couple of network adapters you could get for $5 a piece and, you know, a $10 cable. So I did that, and they instantly talked to each other. I didn't have to put in any kind of IP addresses or anything. It was all Apple Talk. They immediately talked to each other, and they were able to share information. And none of my Windows machine would do that kind of crap. That was back in the Windows 3 days, mm-hmm. 3, 3.1, whatever, and before Windows 95. Plus. Yeah. No, before it was even before 95, because okay. They had Windows 3, 3.1, and then they had Windows Plus. I can't remember what they called it, but it was when they added in networking to it. So before that, you had to go through and kludge things into Windows 3 and 3.1 to get it to network. You know, you had to add in TCP/IP things to get it to work. It didn't network naturally out of the box. Mm-hmm. Until 3.1 plus, I can't remember what that plus was, but that was the one that was the first naturally networking version of Windows that had like a built-in TCP/IP stack and the whole thing. So, you know, the fact that a couple of Macs did this that were old and off of yard sale kind of blew me away. And, you know, I already had a couple of Apple IIs hanging around that I bought at yard sales, and I had an ImageWriter printer. So I added one of the little network things to the ImageWriter, and lo and behold, the two Macs found it and would print to it. Presto bango. I didn't have to do a dang thing. It just found it and worked. Mm. And I was like, well, this is kind of cool. Yep. You know, and this is like before Windows 95 came out, that all this crap was working. So when Windows 95 came out and Apple came out with that great big ad that said, congratulations, Microsoft, you caught up to where we were in 1985. I thought, that is awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. So,
and, you know, the first brand new Mac I bought was a Mac 4400. And it was only because that was the least expensive one I could buy from the Fairbanks, the college store there in at Fairbanks University. I can't remember the whole name now. Hmm. University of Alaska at Fairbanks. They had a computer store there, and I was able to buy 4400 really, really cheap. And I found out why a few years later. But it was a pretty neat machine, but it was a big, big beige box. And it did a lot of really cool things, and it naturally networked with all these old Macs, but it would also naturally interface with the internet. It was all built in. You know, it would do both, and it was really, really kind of cool. And I thought, well, that was when I was really kind of sold on Macintoshes. And the main reason why I bought the 4400 was because Steve Jobs had just been brought back to Apple, and he had announced that he was going to transfer the Mac OS to Unix. And that was my primary OS at the time, is I wanted Unix in the worst possible way.
Yep, that's one of the reasons why I went over to it.
Mac just to support this guy, because if he's going to Unix, I'm going to support him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. But so we'll see what happens with Windows 8. It'll be interesting to see. I think if they can get their tablet working, you know, like you said, it works well with the PCs that run Windows 8. They could have something there, and I think it's the tablet that Windows, if it's any decent worthwhile, companies will go to it just because it'll fit in with what companies use, which are PCs. And
if you build it, Windows, they will come.
That's right. So
pretty much, Josh. Yeah. Because, you know, companies are all using Windows servers. They're using Windows office automation software, and, you know, all that stuff is all Windows centric. And Microsoft needs to to quit taking all the bashing they've taken for years, because their software has had problems, but it's not as bad as everybody says. They need to show how good their software is, and I think that's why they need to develop a tablet that they're working on, mm-hmm. and there's been some hints about a desktop, and they do need to develop a desktop that shows how good Windows can run, mm-hmm. and just leave it at that, make a statement and say, hey, look, this is how good our software is. If you make your software this good, I mean your hardware this good, our software will run this well.
Yeah.
And that way there, anybody that complains about Windows, again, all Microsoft has to say is like, look at our hardware reference, look at what hardware you're running it on. Does it match up? If it doesn't, then don't complain to us.
Of course, for me, They would gain my respect more, probably 100% full by 100 times just by getting rid of the registry.
I agree with it totally. That's my big gripe about working with Windows servers, because Windows servers have got some really awesome technology, especially if you work with them in a clustered environment.
Mm-hmm.
They really have got it down so where you could run like... In a three cluster environment where you have a primary cluster and a backup cluster, and you could sit there and bounce applications back and forth from left to right depending upon the hardware availability, and then if the primary cluster drops down, if both servers in the primary cluster fail, you've got the backup cluster that can keep things running, maybe at a limited state, but at least running,
mm-hmm.
and all of that works rather seamlessly. But the big problem is all the configuration stuff is still, just like the desktop version, stuck in the registry that you can't easily read and you can't easily edit.
Right. It's the worst thing.
Unlike Unix, where everything is in the open for the root user.
It's the worst thing they ever came up with. But so we'll see. We'll see how Windows 8. It's coming out, and I will probably be getting my copy for the desktop here while I can at the cheap price, and we'll see.
Well, the consumer version, I don't know if it's still available, but that was available for free.
Well, no, that's only because it's but that's a limited time, and it goes away.
It goes away when the new one is available.
Right.
Which, and thanks to Apple, it's going to be dirt cheap.
Well, here's the thing. Somebody on one of the podcasts was talking about, I think it was This Week in Tech, we're talking about, it's nice, you can get it, you can install it, but there's no guarantee, there's no way to go back to Windows 7 after you install it, so you better have a backup, and you can't upgrade that to the way it was
in the past, but I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case in the future.
That's what they said.
I think you are going to be able to update this.
No, they said no, not this time. You have to go out and buy it, and you got to reinstall it. That's what they came up with.
Windows 7? In other words, if you want to roll back from 8 to 7, you got to go out buy 7? And
only if you're using the freebie one, the trial one. There's no way to roll back to 7. I don't know from 8. You know, the commercial version. But this freebie one that they put out there has got a limited time. It stops working I think it's a 90 days. Actually, it's 90 days. After 90 days, it stops working. You can't roll back, so you better have a full-fledged backup if you want to go back to 7. And it's not upgradable to Windows 8. So,
really?
Yes. So you have to go out and buy Windows 8 anyway.
Yeah.
That's been pretty typical with a lot of their past releases. That's the way they've run it.
Right. So, and for a limited time, they're going to offer Windows 8 upgrade. I think it's, $39 or something like that? It's fairly cheap. But I found out that's not going to be their price all the time. That's a limited time offer for about 3 months.
Exactly.
And then it goes up to 117 or something. You know,
so buy it while it's hot.
Yeah, so yeah, buy it early if you're gonna buy it. So anyway, let's the next topic here. And Josh, I know from following your wife on Facebook and Google Plus that she was big on this. Oatmeal, which is a website out there, has been pushing a campaign to get funding for a Tesla. Museum.
Museum.
And it's his old work facility. Yep. And apparently the state of New York has offered to match I forget how, up to, if they could get $700,000, they would match that. And I think the campaign is over, and they went over $1 million.
Yep. I remember hearing about it.
And so we are going to have a Tesla museum, which I think is excellent. Because Tesla is a unsung hero, as far as I'm concerned, in technology.
They're building a museum to one car?
Yes.
Yes, that's it. Tesla, you know, the name, the guy, the
car. Yeah, they built a sports car.
No, Tesla was a person. He invented AC.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, Tesla. The one the car is named after.
Sitting in the dark.
I thought you were talking about the electric sports car.
No, it was named after Tesla. Yeah, we wouldn't have AC power if it wasn't for Tesla.
Exactly.
And he was actually working on wireless.
Wireless electricity has proven to work.
Yeah, but suddenly, I forget what happened.
They suppressed it.
Yes, the government came in, along with a few other corporations came in and basically bankrupted him.
They shut him down. It would collapse global economies if you could grab electricity out of the air for free to run your house.
And yeah, but they can't charge you for it that way.
Exactly.
Well, they can't. That's just it. They would put the towers out. It would be in the air. They'd have too tough of a time trying to regulate how and who was getting it to actually be paid for it. It would topple global governments or world economies, so they squashed it.
Yeah.
So. He also perfected the perpetual motion engine, which since there's been 6 or 7 other inventors who've come up with a perpetual motor that literally produces more electricity than it needs to sustain itself to run, and each one of those has been squashed. Luckily, I saw one of the inventors actually made it onto the Discovery Channel where they showed it, where it was making the electricity, and then he went to file for patent. The first thing the patent office did is wait till he wasn't in his laboratory, showed up when he wasn't in his laboratory, and one fundamental key with that is you're not supposed to ground it. The minute you ground it to Earth, all the excess electricity goes to Earth. It's the first thing they did. Said it didn't work, didn't grant him his patent, and he's now nowhere to be found.
I was going to say, is he still alive?
He just disappeared. The two of them had accidents. One had a car accident, and the other one's house blew up.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy just disappeared.
Yeah. So
shit happens.
So you're conspiracy theorists out there.
Oh, absolutely. If it works, and it's absolutely, brother. You know as well as I do, there's no driving factor. There is no, let's make life better for people on this planet. This world is driven by one thing and one thing only, greed.
That's right.
And if I can't make a buck on it, and it makes life easier for somebody else, and I can't get a buck out of their pocket, well, we're going to squash it. If that up to and including that means blow up your house, put you in it.
Yeah. So
whatever it takes.
Yeah. So yeah, Tesla, I believe, died a poor man, and
yes, in a hotel in New York. New York. Yes.
Mm. And he was a direct competitor with.
Westinghouse.
Well, actually, I think he created
Edison. Actually,
what's that?
He and Edison went at it.
Edison. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Well, Edison created GE, and I thought Tesla. I don't know. They started Westinghouse, but Westinghouse.
No, he went into business with Westinghouse, okay. But then got burned.
Okay. Because that's how it was decided to use AC, which was a much safer and better way to transmit power.
If you have a Netflix, you can look up on the Nikola Tesla story. On Netflix, and it is a really, really good movie. Goes in great detail of all of his inventions and how he got financially burned.
Because I've read a lot about him, but I'd like to see a movie.
It's a real good movie. I've actually seen two on him.
Yeah.
One of the ones that they have there. Another one really explains a lot of the inventions that he had come up. He made a harmonics. A harmonics amplifier in a little handheld device, and he nearly took down a bridge because you could get this thing to, it was literally a handheld device. You could lean it up, put it on the steel of a bridge, and be able to tune in the frequency and oscillation in such a fashion that it got the molecules of the steel. And it, the thing was vibrating violently. There's a story where he had, when he was trying to perfect this device, it was in his hotel room in New York City, and the FBI is fully aware, and Nikola Tesla, and he's consulted with the government for on different projects. But they it actually began to shake the hotel, which turned into an earthquake, minor earthquake, and the reason was the FBI knew he had something to do with it, literally broke his door down during this earthquake to discover him with a sledgehammer smashing this device because it got stuck in the on position.
Really?
Yes.
So Adam Curry is right. The government does know how to create earthquakes. They do have an earthquake machine.
That's old hat, brother. You can also make it rain wherever the hell you want to.
Except in Texas or Oklahoma.
Unless they don't want it to rain there to bring up prices.
Right. Here you go, Barry. You got it. Send that to Adam.
Bring corn prices up.
Exactly. You want to know?
Because of that ethanol stuff. All right. Well, and that's, you know, of course, conspiracy talk here. We ought to have a show just on conspiracy.
I can go on for days.
I know, but it would be fun, huh? We let's do that.
Yeah,
let's,
if you want to make your own podcast just talking about those kind of things.
Who wants to hear about it realistically?
You might be surprised, yeah. Josh.
You know what? No, wait, you're right. There's probably a lot of folks who do, and all of them will get written off as quacks or conspiracy theorists or nut jobs or psychologically unstable. So a lot of times it's just better to educate oneself and keep it under your hat. I mean, that's typically what, you know, I quite frankly, I realize I'm not looking to change the world. I just want people to leave me alone with my little corner of it.
Yeah, I hear you there.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, I had one more topic here, and it's another, yeah. We've talked Apple
tech.
Through the nose. But they're basically saying that on September 12th, when they announced the new iPhones, a lot of people were saying that they were also going to introduce the iPad Mini. But now it looks like they're going to have a separate announcement for that, maybe
really?
In October timeframe. So,
well, that kind of makes sense to me. I mean, why cluster the two together when they're not really totally related? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that it would be better to have one event talking about the phone and all of its features, and then later on maintain speculation for a few months, and once people stop talking about the iPhone, iPhone 5 or whatever they choose to call it, then have a separate event with a whole new device.
Right.
You know?
It just spreads out the Apple news the next month.
Exactly. Drag it out.
And then have an iPod one come November or something, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
It's all Apple talk all the time.
I don't know what they could do with the iPod, but keep coming up with new things.
Put bigger processors in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, put a bigger processor in it, and basically what it turns into is the iPad Micro.
Yeah,
you know what they need to come up with is a little iPod that you can like embed into your head somehow, so that you don't even need an iPod anymore. You can just wirelessly listen to your music anywhere you are on the planet.
Wow,
it'd be tough punching the buttons though on your forehead or whatever.
You just think it and it happens.
Yeah, turn up the volume.
Just think Genius List 3 and it plays, you know?
That could be dangerous though if you can't control your thoughts. All of a sudden all this porn music starts coming.
Oh really? Well, we don't want to discuss what you have on your iPad or your iPod, Barry. Yeah.
All right.
I mean,
if your mind goes that way constantly, well, you know, maybe that's what you'd like in your head. You know?
Oh,
whatever keeps
God.
The customer satisfied, you know?
Oh, my God. Did this road just take a turn?
As long as it's not displaying it on the display on your forehead.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so
I think an iPad Mini might be kind of a good idea. I talked to my wife about that because she has an iPad, and you know, we have a Kindle Fire around the house that we kind of play with once in a while, but we don't really do much with it seriously.
Once in a while, toy.
Well, you know, it was $200. I mean, you know, it's cheap, so what the hell? We picked it up to play with it, and you know, it's okay. It does a lot of things, and it's fun to play with.
Bottom line, when you're sitting here going, oh, this is cute, but it's not an iPad, and you put it down because it doesn't
pretty
do
much,
the, yeah,
pretty
it
much,
do
you know. But I was talking to her, and she was saying that you know she likes the iPad more than the Fire, but she likes the size of the Fire better because she can fit it in most of her purses.
Right. So if you take an iPad and you shrink it.
Yeah, if you make it like
genius at Apple. I love it. I am so jazzed for this thing to come out. I can't hardly wait. This is the one I think I might jump on. If it comes out in October, the iPad Mini, I am totally stoked.
Yeah.
Because a 7-inch iPad just makes like total sense. Hey, I got a 7-inch piece of plastic shit right here, and it doesn't do a goddamn thing except hold down papers. But the form factor, the size, is awesome. And can you imagine having something that size that just does everything? I'd sign me up. Definitely sign me up.
Yeah, and it should be at a decent price, too. So we'll see. So, Michael, anything from Copper Harbor Day up there?
Nope.
I will say that I'm pretty happy with the Nexus 7 that I've got, their touch or their little pad. Mm-hmm. What do we call it? I guess it's Nexus 7 right now.
Yeah,
it's the Nexus 7 inch Nexus pad.
Yeah,
is that what it's
there
called? Okay,
I'm trying to think what the name was. Yeah, what the 7-inch Nexus tablet, the Google design,
right?
Reference device.
Isn't it made by Acer?
As far as the interface is concerned on it, I think it's really cool. The fit and finish, it's not an iPad. Meaning the screen actually creaks as you move your finger across it at times when you're playing Angry Birds in space. It actually creaks. You can actually feel the whole
thing give a little.
You can feel the whole thing give a little bit and creak. It's a little distracting, but that's in the design from Asus. That's not necessarily in the interface.
Oh, Asus, that's who made it. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've been using the heck out of it, and I could see where an iPad at that form factor and size would carry it more than the iPad that I've got. It's just much more convenient.
I kind of like the larger size.
Oh, I do too, but you know, I don't know. I've never played with a 7-inch one. I probably will not be a candidate for one just because I do have the 10-inch one and I have my iPhone, and I just I get that in between size for what?
I got lucky because I got it as an evaluation unit.
Right. But I think people are going to choose either get the 10-inch one or get the 7-inch one. I can't see them getting both.
Well, you know, in the marketplace, Dell is having a hard time selling PCs because of the way Apple is having so much success with iPads.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I just watched the sun go down from the top of the mountain here, too.
Oh, really? That must have been nice.
Nice.
Oh, it still is. You get that afterglow over the horizon on Lake Superior up into the clouds. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I had some afterglow yesterday afternoon, but it had nothing to do with sunsets.
That was 2 episodes ago.
Okay, TMI. All right, so anything planned up in Copper Harbor these days?
Well, there's a big mountain bike race coming up this weekend. Okay. I've been training with my youngest son. He's planning to run the 17-mile event up and down the mountain numerous times. Mm. And
wow.
And in the wisdom, I don't know what they were thinking. The medic service scheduled me to work that day.
Oh, fun.
So So we're trying to fix that for numerous reasons that you are aware of. But we'll talk about that offline. But anyhow, so that's going to be a big event. It's going to be a 2 or 3 day event over Labor Day. Yeah.
You ought to get your son one of those Go cameras.
He wants to get one.
They're getting ready to have a public offering soon, and they've pretty much captured that whole marketplace. It would be kind of cool for you to, you know, snap a couple of those on him and just kind of like film his run.
Now, we want to do that. They're just not cheap. So
yeah, that's true.
We're working on that.
Cool.
You ought to see if you can get an evaluation unit. I mean, can't your company write some software to maximize what comes out of that thing?
Yeah.
He's thinking.
He's thinking. Oh, you know what kind of excuse can I use? iPhone? Can't you interface it with, like, an iPad or something?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we're over an hour. So I think we should probably wrap this thing up. So once again to all the military people out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, hey, thanks for what you're doing. You OCONUS guys, we hope you get back home to your family and friends real soon. And once again, Godspeed to Neil Armstrong. I almost said what NBC reported on that. They came out with the story online and they said astronaut Neil Young passed away.
What?
That's what they
what?
Put. They put astronaut Neil Young passed away. And quickly
well, he
corrected
is a bit of a
it.
Space cadet.
I was waiting for that. I'm like, the door's open. Who's going to step through it?
I love his music, and I can all I can say is that, hey, that's where he puts his head. You know?
Yeah. But anyway, Godspeed, Neil Armstrong, and... a true American hero there. So, we do have a musical guest tonight. It's Stonecraft with their song Dawn to Light. And so, with that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, I'm Josh.
And from central New York, this is Barty.
And from the top of Brockway Mountain, this is Michael the Virtual Yeeper.
And we'll see you all next week. Here's Stonecraft.
No clouds.
Samson, speak. Good boy.